Good evening, Patriots. Remember, on August 26th, August 29th is going to be Bard's Fest in St. Charles, Missouri. And part of that is we're going to be doing Slipper Revolution, the Slipper Revolution, which is us as a symbolic act of bringing pairs of my slippers as we continue to push for increased sales for Mike Lindell's company that cancel culture left has tried to extinguish as they've cut off access to markets and they continue to try to squeeze in with a current $65 million loss in business. So our duty now with a CEO that openly loves Christ and is keeping his faith and fighting for this nation, including a new social media platform, hiring white hats to support verification of the election, to prove the election fraud, starting his own TV station, continuing to give to small business and help get them started, and continuing to run a program for addicts. They've given us a promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, that you can use to get some great savings on their products. You can go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Or you can go and call the telephone free number at 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. You'll get 40% off on my slippers and a variety of other stuff, whatever you find out there that you want to get. But get yourself a pair of my slippers for the Slipper Revolution so that we can kick it when we get to Bard's Fest on the 27th. Mike Lindell will be speaking. And that's... We want to give him as much support as possible. I can't stand cancel culture left. They piss me off. It's time to uncancel. It's time to cancel them is what we need to do. And that's what part of this is about, is canceling the cancels. So spread the code. Get it around to patriots. There's 80 million patriots out there. I'm sure that we can meet our goal of getting 1 million My Slippers sold by Bard's Fest. So let's keep pushing it and do what we can. Tonight, Patriots, I'm going to start by reading a very famous speech, a speech by Patrick Henry. Seems appropriate on this Memorial Day. That speech was written in 1775 and is titled, as we should know it, is "It Is Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death." And it goes, "No man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism as well as abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed the House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights, and therefore, I hope it will not be thought disrespectful for these gentlemen if, entertaining as I do opinions of a character very opposite of theirs, I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve. This is no time for ceremony. The question before the House is one of awful momentum in this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery, and in proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Should I keep back my opinions at such a time, through fear of giving offense, I should consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and of an act of disloyalty towards the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings. Mr. President, it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of my spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and provide for it. I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify these hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Is it the insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comforts with those warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our land. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. I ask, gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array if its purpose be not to force us to submission? Can gentlemen assign any of these possible motive for it? Has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world to call for all of the accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir, she has none. They are meant for us. They can be meant for no other. They are sent over to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry have been so long forging. And what have we to oppose to them? Shall we try argument, sir? We have been trying that for the last 10 years. Have we anything new to offer upon the subject? Nothing. We have held the subject up in every light of which it is capable, but it has been all in vain. Shall we resort to entreaty and humble supplication? What terms shall we find which have not been already exhausted? Let us I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming on. We have petitioned, we have remonstrated, we have supplicated, we have prostrated ourselves before the throne and have implored its interposition to arrest the tyrannical hands of the ministry and parliament. Our petitions have been slighted. Our remonstrances have been produced additional violence and insult. Our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. In vain, after these things, may we indulge the fond hope of peace and reconciliation? There is no longer any room for hope. If we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve inviolate these inestimable privileges for which we have been so long contending, if we mean not basely to abandon the noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, and which we have pledged ourselves never to abandon until the glorious object of our contest shall be obtained, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when the British Guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? Shall we, sir, we are not weak if we make proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power. the millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is just God who presides over the destinies of nations, and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Amazing, for here we are once again. And it is in this great time that the speeches of our founding fathers once again resonate with truth over the span of time. This is now our resolve, and it is the place that we must draw the line to make our decision of what we want. Liberty or slavery, and we must choose in this path ahead. We must turn first to God. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear dull that it cannot hear. For the Lord can hear us, and he can hear our cries and hear our pleas, and we must humble ourselves first before the Lord as we sit in here today. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Those words are as powerful as the speech I just read. For they speak a very clear truth, and it's a question that each one of us must ask and confront. Have we been living free but using it as a cover-up for evil? Or have we been standing boldly in the face of evil and denying its access to this world? At this moment in time, these are choices now that are before us. We cannot go back. We must go forward, or we must relent. Patriots, Patrick Henry's words, give me liberty or give me death, are profound, because there are things that are worse than death, and we're witnessing them happening right now. This is a time when we must confront what is actually happening. We are facing an enemy that we're told is bigger than we can possibly defeat. We're facing an enemy that's consumed the institutions that we trusted, has consumed many of those that we thought we could trust, and we're continuing to see the figures of those we thought we could trust fall. We are seeing many acquiesce and give in, but it doesn't take but the handful of fully committed in the love of Christ to win this battle. And that is the battle we now face, and the battle we must choose to confront and choose to win. There are many people on this day to be remembered of who have fallen for the sake of liberty. Whatever motive was driven to us to these wars, nonetheless, these people gave their lives and the ultimate cost far and above the politics. They gave it for those men that they served with, and they ultimately gave it for the belief of what this nation stood for. Today, many of those, if they saw what was happening, would roll in their grave. To see a country that has willfully handed over its freedoms, willfully handed over its liberties, God-given rights, to a tyranny driven by an injection and a medical community. Never have we imagined that a country would be toppled by fear and an injection that people would willfully take, and yet here we are. And in this moment in time, we must now face the choices that lie ahead of us. And they're quite simple. They are literally Patrick Henry's words, liberty or death. Because I will never be enslaved by these people. I will never accept slavery as a way of life. And while the many may choose that way to embrace the ideas of free money and free housing and free health care at any cost, there is no cost so great. There is no cost that I would ever accept that I would give away the God-given rights that we were given in this nation. This nation was blessed. It was blessed in ways probably best stated in Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through the love serve one another. That was the foundation, ultimately, that was given to this nation, a nation blessed by God, a nation that ultimately, in all of this, was designed to give people the opportunity to rise up, to work together, and to truly live through free will and the choices that God gave us before us to lead this nation. Over the years, that has seemed like a pesky burden. We've pulled back, we've withdrawn, we've handed the keys over to those that we knew were corrupt, but we somehow trusted that everything would be okay. And what nation rules itself and says openly all politicians are corrupt and expects for an outcome to be anything other than corrupt? That's quite literally the definition of insanity. And so here we are. And on these days now, as we witness the increasing encroachment of this tyranny by medical injection and the overall destruction of our society, as each person that takes it is affected in its own unique way, we are seeing the crumbling of a structure by the willful act of the weak and the faithless. This isn't a time to waver. This isn't a time to pull back or withdraw because of fear. This is a time to let the fires of wrath and the fires of righteousness flow within your veins. This is a time to be a warrior of Christ, to be able to stand boldly in these hours, to flip tables, to be heard as Christ spoke boldly in the temples of the Pharisees. This is a time to walk boldly in the light of truth, to not let any truth go unspoken, to not let lies walk before you, to not walk by and accept that innocents are being inoculated and destroyed. People will try to tell you otherwise. They'll try to tell you you're crazy. They'll try to tell you that everything's going to be okay, that we're part of some extremist group, some right-wing Christian crazies against vaccinating and saving the world. The brainwashing is very effective. The question is, do you have the strength to stand for truth in the midst of the storm? This is not something that's going to go away quickly. We can pray for a quick wrath, but it won't happen that way. This is a fight that we must fight. This is a responsibility that we must take and a burden that we must bear. This is our cross. And we must walk this path boldly and relentlessly, and never give in, no matter the cost. And that right there is ultimately what you have to resolve within your own hearts when you look into the mirror. What is this worth to you? What is walking with God worth to you? What is walking for the pursuit of liberty which God gave you worth to you? In this time, if you choose a path other than the true path with God, you're falling off into a wide gate walk that ultimately will lead to destruction. And no one is saying that this narrow path that we walk is going to be easy. In fact, it is anything but. Those that follow me will be persecuted, as Christ told us. And so let it be. Much rather to be persecuted for following our King and Savior than to give in to the promises of easy life and enslavement. Each day we must raise from our sleep and ask ourselves and ask God, most importantly, what is it that we can do today to serve you? Each day is a renewal of this fight, and we cannot stop at any point. Our founding fathers, who spoke words like Patrick Henry, understood tyranny firsthand. They understood what it would have been like to have lost against England and Great Britain. And they were outgunned, they were outmatched, and yet they still pulled out victory. We have so many tools in this fight with us that we haven't even begun to use. We're long overdue with doing heavy-duty boycotts on companies. We've become soft in convenience of using certain companies over others, to convincing ourselves that we can't really live without that one, and, well, I can kind of live with this one. The time is now that we have to draw that line. We've become too addicted to the convenience of having our food delivered to us through supply chains and systems which they control and the food which they grow. We've moved far away from taking the responsibility of growing our own food, of building our own networks with neighbors and friends, of building our relationship with local farmers. We have become soft with our faith. We've lost that fire in our belly, sitting in pews and listening to the Word of God and accepting that our singular role in life is to attend church every Sunday, drop money in the offering plate, and just like that, holy roller, you're going to be in heaven. That was never the intent, nor the calling. And so it's time to reclaim that, to put the churches back in our home, to open the Bible and begin to read, to listen to God, to ask the questions to God, and let those answers be found in the life that we lead. We've given our children to the prostitution of brainwashing and indoctrination for a new world shaped not on the love of God, but on the separation and segregation by race and color, defined by the fear of invisible enemies and the submission with the wearing of a mask and the destruction and full obedience by the injection of the bioweapon. And too many parents have bent their knee and bowed before them, before this Luciferian whore, and offered their children up to the offering of the Dark Lord. How short a memory we have. Is there any difference in this than the offerings given to the golden calf, the bull, or the horned goat? And yet here we are, a godless society to a large extent, wandering in this world, wandering in the desert, thinking that it can navigate a world that's built on the fabric and foundations of spirituality and relationship with God, infected with some of the most evil things one could possibly imagine. And yet people have been convinced that this is their choice, a world that they can walk alone and they can receive the reward of trinkets and material things that will last as long as they stay alive. But if they're good, they too might ascend to be a god themselves. That is the world which we stand off against. So when we talk about drawing a line, that is your line. It doesn't say that we don't reach out. It doesn't say that we don't try to bring them in. It doesn't say that we don't try to show our love. But what you don't do is walk across that line and sit with them and try to be them, because you're weak and you forget the strength that God gives you. It doesn't mean that you listen to the deceitful words of shepherds in this world to try to tell you that Christ would take this bioweapon, or that somehow it's scriptural to inject yourself with this bioweapon. Why do they have to inject it? Why don't they spray it? Why don't they put it in your drinking water? It would be easy, and yet they need you to accept it on your free will. They need you to take it inside of your blood, because blood is life. And whatever they're doing with this, this is not a battle about the physical. This is a battle for the spiritual realms and principalities that we cannot touch, that we were warned about, and which somehow we've seemed to think that we're bigger than and superior to, and that we can navigate them on our own. How foolish have we become? Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Continuing, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is a time that will require more spiritual strength than we've ever thought possible, and yet God is there to guide us and to accept us in. This is a time that more than ever we must humble ourselves before God and truly humble ourselves in praying for the forgiveness necessary to heal this nation. This is a time to fast. This is a time to bring together prayer vigils through the all night time, through the night. This is a time to use the power of prayer as the mechanism of warfare as it can be, and as only God can deliver. This is the calling which we must now address. Each step that we go forward, we get farther down this path of evil seizing more and more control. I can't speak for a future, but it would seem to me that the farther we go down into this spiral of hell, we leave God with fewer and fewer options because his children have not responded. And it would seem, in my logic, that that leads ultimately to something that must be massive and resetting. Because if we are not going to listen to him, if we are not going to humble ourselves before him, if we are not going to pray to him and humble ourselves and ask for the forgiveness is necessary, the question is, have we ever really trusted him? We can tell ourselves we have, but have we done enough? We are now fighting for the survival of humanity. We are now in this driver's seat of leading this fight as the remnant. And I truly believe as the remnant, we can transform this world. It doesn't take 3%. It only takes a handful aligned with Christ. For the power of God and through the healing of Christ, it may only take 12. But we must be true in our heart and our commitment. And I know there's more than 12. We must be steadfast in our prayers. We must be steadfast in our commitment to our faith. We must be steadfast in standing for the principles of what our faith is. Standing is not a passive action. And we must be engaged in our communities. We must be engaged with the truth. And we must be loud. We must be flipping tables. And we must be calling out the Pharisees in the temple. So, Patriots, on this Memorial Day, when we reflect on all the people that have served their nation, this is equally an opportunity to step up and to serve the nation, whether you have already or whether this is your first time. This isn't about an oath. This is about a calling from our Lord and Savior through which we connect with God, through Christ to the Father. This is a time when we're standing up for humanity as God's children and serving one of the greatest fights one could possibly imagine or ever be humbled to serve in. A fight with God, a fight with Christ, to literally stand in this time, to look evil in the eye and to force evil to bow. This is a time that requires everything in our faith, every bit of power. We must be able to stand those that are going to be accusing us of being crazy. We must have that strength in our heart to be able to walk that path, even as the crowds around you throw things and jeer at you and try to call you heretic. Because in the end of the day, that walk that we make is truly a walk each to our own, as Christ took. And it's through that sacrifice, through that absolute perseverance and conviction that we have, that we will change this world. We will win this fight. But it will take everything that we have. They will try to spin illusions. They will soften one thing while they do something else. They will free up your masks while they push you to get an injection. Then they will give you back your rights as they achieve a certain level, and then they'll start all over again. This is a constant fight, and it's not going to go away until we reset the playing field, and that reset has to begin with the principal words, "In God we trust," in everything that we do and in every piece of government, legislation, every bit of teaching to our children, every bit of entertainment in our world, every bit of news that is spoken, every bit of literature that we read, reread, every bit of schooling that is given, every bit of work that we do. We must center first on all things in our relationship to God. That is where we are headed. And that path is long from where we sit, but we know that when we walk with God, anything is possible. Miracles happen. And the distances that seem impossible become achievable in a faster amount of time than we ever imagined. Let our faith lead us. Let us find strength in all that we are, and let us reconnect truly through God to reignite that flame of the trueness of who we have always been. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this day, this moment that we share to reflect very deeply on the state of the world and our place. Lord, we ask that you'll guide us, that you'll press us, push us into this fight, to challenge us in ways that may seem almost impossible for us at times, but you know, Lord, how far we can go, and we can always go farther than we thought possible. So, Lord, we pray that you'll push us now to press in this fight, to connect more deeply with you, to hear you more clearly, to see this line ahead of us with more detail, to reconnect more fully with the true gifts that were given within us and the true sense of who we are. Let us not be intimidated by evil's attempts at fear, anxiety, doubt, and the perceptions that we will lose. For we know that with you all things will always be won. So let us fight this fight with you, Lord, and lead this fight to victory with you. And let us expunge this evil. Let us save the children. Let us reclaim this land in your name, in your holy name. And let us honor our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, we have a long road ahead. And that's okay, because we know one thing for sure. As long as we stay true to the Lord, as long as we stay true to our faith, the one thing we have is life. And that, frankly, is the lottery. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. This is a glorious time to live, for all things are being revealed, and we at least know where our enemy is. Keep your prayers up. Keep your strength up. Trust in the Lord in all that we do. Let Christ guide your heart and heal any doubts or fears that you have that flow within you. This is all in. And this is why we are here. This is why we were born for this time and this moment. Remember, God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And God will always win. Let us be at that victory line with him. So see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, thank you, good night, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to the level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of our moment, but not a void up, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fits together. Far away.
out on the freeway, let it ease my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. To what we know, keep it close on the cold days, darling, counting all the ways.